Hey there, I'm Ryan, CEO of Rootly. Rootly transforms text-based job descriptions into fully branded, fully interactive candidate experiences. Over the past decade, every element of the candidate experience has evolved and been optimized except for job descriptions. They're still completely text-based and boring for candidates. And that's exactly why we built Rootly. Companies like Johnson & Johnson, Indigo, and Diply are already using Rootly to completely transform their candidate experience. We'd love to show you how it works. So head over to Rootly.com, R-U-U-T-L-Y, and sign up for a demo. Mention that you heard about us on this podcast and get 3 months of Rootly for free. See you soon.
Hey, sans Vason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans London's Employer Branding Agency. This week, we're catching up with an old friend, and we'll learn how a legacy tech company with a bit of a reputational issue turned itself into a talent attraction magnet with the help of employees. Sound good? Let's start the show. Hello, fish dogs. How are you doing?
Jorgen, how's it going? It's been so long.
Yes, so long. And so tell our listeners who you are and what you do, please.
Yes, so I am Craig Fisher, aka at Fish Dogs, just about everywhere online and fishdogs.com. And I am I'm an employer branding / marketing consultant in the recruitment industry, and have been doing that since about 2009. And through that time, I've had lots of side projects. The project with Jason Seiden, where we were the first ever LinkedIn certified training company in North America. I've been a dedicated sort of brand ambassador / marketing thought leader for various tech companies and in the HR space. But most of the time, I spend my time doing consulting and training work for sales and recruiting teams. About 3 years ago, Allegis Global Solutions came to me and said, "Hey, we've got this this customer that needs a brand refresh for their employer brand. And, you know, we'd like you to go on site there and be embedded and do this for a couple of years and help turn that thing around. It's a legacy software company and they've got an office in Plano, Texas, near you." I said, that's CA Technologies. They said, "Yeah, how do you know?" I said, "I used to do staffing for them years ago." So I know their story very well. And that sounds like a fun project. Can you pay me enough? And they said, "Well, how about this? If we can't pay you enough, we'll give you, you know, the leeway to do your other stuff." And that's sort of the thing that I negotiate with everyone. So I get a good amount of time every year on paid leave to go do my consulting work and speaking gigs and things like that. And they want me out there, you know, working with teams at other companies and with my ear to the ground and being at conferences anyway. So it's a win-win, works out great. But the CA gig, I spent 2 years there embedded, turning that employer brand around, and we did a really good job of it. I had a dedicated marketing team just for employer brand of 6 individuals globally, which was amazing. Nobody gets that sort of thing. Wow. And and so that's one of the things that really intrigued me about the project, and you know, I thought I could create some cool stuff, and we really did.
Right. So so basically, you're with Allegis. You've got a Craig contract, as they call it.
That's right.
Which allows you to be on cool podcasts and so on, like this one.
That's exactly right. I now currently I left CA earlier this year, and I currently serve as the head of marketing for Allegis Global Solutions, and I'm also their employer branding SME. So we do employer branding consulting work for all of Allegis's customers now. So I get to still support CA, but also, you know, big brands like HSBC and Amex and Staples and, you know, great organizations.
Great. Okay. So I wanted to talk about CA Technologies as a bit of a case study, because you've done 2-3 years there. So could you describe the corporate culture when you took on the reins?
Yeah, absolutely. So CA is very much like any other big software company, right? It's a sales organization first, and everything else comes after that. And that's exactly the mentality they had and probably still have. But one of the issues we had there was CA Technologies used to be Computer Associates, right? But they rebranded Computer Associates, got in some trouble over fudging their numbers to the market, and their founder actually went to jail for it, and so CA became one of the most voluntarily audited companies in the software business. But they have good products, right? Their products actually are behind 90 something percent of all banking transactions you've ever done online or through your phone. So CA security products are amazing. And so they powered on, but they rebranded from Computer Associates to CA Technologies some years back. And the newer workers didn't really have that history. You know, what is CA? Is it California Technologies? We don't understand this. And so my job was to reacquaint, you know, newer workers, newer techies coming into the market, salespeople, et cetera, with the legacy of CA Technologies, the good stuff, and what's CA Technologies like on its best day. And the reality is, inside that company are a bunch of rabid fans of that organization because they've got amazing diversity programs inside the company, really crazy good benefits, and lots of very positive things that could be said about the company. That said, they acquire companies all the time, so they grow by acquisition, which means that every year or two, they're going to sort of slough off what's not working. And so they'll have regular layoffs. And you know as well as I do that when you do that, your Glassdoor scores take a big hit. And how do you combat that? And so you have to have more good stuff out there than bad.
Okay, so let's talk about the bad stuff then. What talent challenges would CA Technologies face with, let's say, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, so the reality was they were having trouble turning over, you know, a lot of people, and they couldn't keep good product development people in place, and lots of engineers they had to have just on contract, right. And so they were spending a fortune with agencies, and their sales teams would turn over quite regularly as well, and so our goal was to sell the employer brand both internally and externally, and that's what we did.
Okay, and so your employer brand strategy, where did it start, and how did you formulate the whole thing?
So my idea was to capture the good stories, right? And so we surveyed internally the organization and decided what are the things that we should be promoting about the organization. And who are our brand champions who would help us do that? Because my version of employer branding has always been, it's about the employees, not some marketing slogan, right? You don't just say, hey, we're going to be this, and your culture changes. That doesn't work. You have to literally get the employees so you can show the culture from the inside out. And so we implemented a few things early on, including Q Social, so we could get employees talking about things that are happening at work on a regular basis with hashtag life at CA. And we built a pretty substantial Instagram account, and we had good Twitter followers and Facebook accounts and all these channels where we figured we could either repurpose things that our employees were saying using the hashtag life at CA, and also feed them some regular good content through Q Social that wasn't necessarily by or about the organization, but sometimes just good third-party content that would help their networks grow and help them build thought leadership and trust in their own network. So with the employees, we gave them a what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. We gave them the empowerment to talk on the company's behalf. Whereas, you know, in a lot of organizations, employees don't know what they can or should say and do. And there was plenty of training involved, and you know, that's sort of my thing. And so we got brand ambassadors actually lining up across an 11,000 person organization, raising their hands saying, "Hey, I want to be part of this." And it worked. And one of the other great things that we did was, as part of some of the amazing benefits we have, we would send out bundles of swag to various employees on, you know, anniversaries or, hey, welcome to your summer vacation. Here's a beach bag and a pail and a shovel and a selfie stick. And we'd stick a card in there that says, "Hey, welcome to summer. If you're going to share photos online, be sure to tag us, hashtag life at CA. We want to see your photos." And that's not a you have to, it's a if you want to sort of thing. And people did. So we got people all over the world who were employees of CA starting to share pictures of their pets. We sent out a bundle for our pet benefits. You get a day of socialization at CA if you get a new pet, and a day of bereavement if you lose a pet. So we took advantage of that and sent out pet bundles with, you know, dog bowls and bandanas and they all CA branded swag. And people would take pictures and post with hashtag life of CA. So all of a sudden we had all this amazingly good activity happening online that really pushed down any of the negative stuff that was going on.
And if we back up a little bit, is there a, you mentioned this isn't really a marketing slogan, but did you have an EVP, a people promise that you built everything out from?
We did. And it actually evolved over the time that I was there. And by the time I was in my second year, we had developed this sort of DNA that really said what we were about. And it, we literally built it out as a DNA molecule that had all these different points of chain of connection on there. And so it was resilience, results-oriented, collaborative, socially aware, authentic, customer-centric, and creative. And we really felt like those were really good tenets to live by and things that we as an organization could promise to our people and that our people could promise back to us. And so it really worked out very, very well because everybody started – well, we came up with a program where we would say, here's a, kind of an Instagram challenge. Write something this week, either on a blog post or just in a social post that says how you're living this part of the DNA this week. And so we got people really talking about that, which was great.
So was there a tagline or was it more a number of pillars?
So there was a couple of taglines. So Life at CA was kind of our internal. That was kind of our internal conversation that the outside world could hear, right? It's us talking to each other, but everybody could see in. But the tagline became bring what you bring. And so, you know, we wanted diversity in the organization and we wanted people from all walks of life and, you know, your code, your questions, your values, your you. So, you know, that kind of varied depending on the, vertical we were trying to recruit, but, you know, it was really good. And then beyond that, we said for every barrier, a breakthrough. And, you know, that's just life in a software company. There's going to be barriers. But for every one of those, we're going to try to promise a breakthrough.
Right. Okay. And you already talked about this a bit, but how did you communicate and activate, bring this all to life in campaigns?
Yeah. So internally, you know, communication is tricky with a large organization. Yep. And, you know, 11,000 person company is a medium-sized company, I guess, right? Not super huge. It's not a 300,000 person PepsiCo, but, you know, we used internal Yammer and Salesforce channels, chatter and, you know, email blasts, but, we also, literally, went out and scoured the internet for all of our active CA Technologies people online. And we started reaching out socially as well and tagging you know, various individuals just with posts on a regular basis. But then we went a step further and we started creating lists of people that we wanted to do day in the life blog posts about. And we created a pretty large list, and over a couple of years we did several hundred.
And off the back of your campaigns and your communications, what would you say was your best source of hire, and did this change over time?
Yeah, so it did change over time. Originally, our best source of hire we were told when I got there that it was LinkedIn, of course, right? But I looked at the numbers, and I know LinkedIn's game. And I said, look, you can't attribute all this to LinkedIn, because they're just saying that anyone that has a LinkedIn profile that you hired is attributed to LinkedIn. Yep. So that's not going to work for me. And what we realized was that really our biggest source of hire was referrals. And we really nurtured that referral program and did a really good job of it.
Do they pay a bounty?
CA did pay a bounty, yes. And people would take advantage of it. And so we had to sort of fix that, which is doable. I've got some tricks if you ever want to talk about that. But
you gave us some tricks. Come on, Craig.
Yeah, so you can say that you get X number of dollars for a referral, but you get penalized X number of dollars for abusing the system, and here are the rules. And the abuse just stops. So it really worked. And, you hold the bounty for a while, because most of the people that get the bounty, the abusers are among those groups. Right. And so you hold the bounty for a while and say, look, you get it in 3 months or 6 months, but you don't get it if you're breaking the rules.
Gotcha. Great. And are there any initiatives that you're particularly proud of? Anything you want to mention from your two-year tenure?
So that Q Social implementation was really key. We built a really good case for that. And there's a case study on my LinkedIn site about how CA shared their culture with the outside world. And there's all the slides and all the data is there. And it turned around our social channels immediately. We expanded by something like 800% in a very short amount of time. Yeah. And we realized that a savings of what would have been paid media of something on the order of $700,000.
Right.
That's how much exposure we got. And we got written up about it in Forbes and other publications because of the great work we did there.
So this was pretty early doors for employee advocacy, then, I'd say. But what made you choose Q Social over the other ones?
Well, so a couple of things. I'd known Patrick, who started Q Social, for quite a while. I looked at that platform early on. I was a beta tester. And I loved the way that it was really recruiting centric, right? There are other platforms out there, but at the time, Q Social was really the one that was really paying attention to the recruitment space. And so for me, I wanted to experiment with that and got a chance to do that. And then beyond that, I actually recommended CA was a Findly customer at the time, which is now Symphony Talent. And I recommended after that implementation that Findly should buy Q Social. And that's what happened. I'm not saying it was all me, but I might have had something to do with that.
Yeah. You didn't say no to your 5% transaction check. Nice.
I didn't get any of that.
Okay. Right. So any hard lessons that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few things. Early on, we set up a system where we had what we call talent assessors reviewing every resume that came in the door, basically every applicant. We figured out very early in my tenure that 72% of all applicants were not getting responded to at all in any way, shape, or form other than the automated, right? The automated response, thank you for sending your email. And so we set up a couple of team members in India who had been recruiting coordinators and trained them to be talent assessors to review each applicant versus the job and put them in a yes, no, maybe file. And the no's actually got a personal response from that talent assessor saying, hey, thank you, but you know, this isn't right for this job this time, but please stay in touch with us. We'd love you to join our talent community so that we can follow your career, because I think there will be a job for you, or you might know someone, right? And it was crazy, the response we got. I got notes from people on LinkedIn saying, hey, Craig, I wanted to let you know I've been applying to jobs at CA for a couple of years with very little response, and today I got rejected, and I loved it because it was from an actual person.
Well, yeah.
And I actually invited one of these folks to my office for coffee to talk to them about their experience. And they said, yeah, this is unheard of. Nobody does this. And he turned out to be a marketing guy, and we hired him.
Wow.
Just because I talked him. Yeah. I talked him through. But the lesson there is, you know, really pay attention to how many of your applicants are actually getting sort of that human touch, because as automated as we are these days, that's still very, very important.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. And how did you go about measuring ROI on the employer brand at CA?
Right. So I'm an analytics nut, and I don't do anything that I can't prove a value of. So, for instance, with Q Social, the estimate on, you know, how much money we saved in paid media was a real number. I mean, you could put a hard number on that, how much exposure we got, impressions, et cetera. There's real data behind that. And all those numbers are in that case study. And we did everything like that. Every campaign that we launched on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and everywhere else, we paid real close attention to the numbers. And if we didn't get the responses that we wanted, we changed tactics right away. It was fast fail. But I like the metrics of cost per interview more than cost per hire, because I believe that as a recruitment team, you can only get people so far. But if people are good enough to get an interview, that's a win for us. And the rest is up to the hiring managers.
Got it. Okay, right. So have you got any top tips to our employer brand managers listening to this podcast? And if so, can you also please share some cool tools?
Yes, absolutely. So top tips are going to be measure everything.
Yeah.
Do not set up any sort of campaign or social channel that you're not prepared to measure on a regular basis, daily, weekly, monthly, et cetera. Because when you want to have some money to spend on it, you've got to provide some numbers in order to prove that case. And I don't care if you're a third-party vendor, it's the same thing. If you're handling employer brand for a customer, you better be doubly sure that you're really good at that, right? Mm. Second, as good as automation is, and I'm all about AI and automating everything you can do, as good as we are at that now, you have to remember that the human touch is still the most important part, because I did a survey and I asked job candidates how they feel about interacting with chatbots as part of the recruitment and application process. And the majority were very cool with it, right? But a good 20% were still very uncomfortable with that process, which means that, right, we're advancing and we're saving ourselves time and making ourselves more efficient, but we can't forget that we still need that empathy with a candidate. We still need someone to say, hey, we appreciate you. So don't forget the human touch, right? And then the third tip is do take advantage of technology. right? If you're not automating certain things, you're wasting time. So I'll give you an example. I've got a tool that I really like called Crowdfire. Crowdfire is an app that you can download to your phone that will feed you relevant content to post. And sort of like Hootsuite used to do, it will save that post in a queue and post it at a relevant time. So you can still do that with Hootsuite, but you have to do it sort of like with every post that you do. This one, you can rapid fire share many, many things, and it will spread them out across several weeks if you want, which is really, really great. And so I can set up my social posting for myself and several leaders in my organization, if they've entrusted that to me, to build their brand and their thought leadership as well with really relevant content that's good for their audience with this tool. And then it gives me a weekly report of how we did, how many new likes, followers, unfollowers, et cetera, for each channel and for each account, which is, it's really cool. So it's a little bit like a good phone app to complement your Hootsuite account, if that's what you use. There's another one called Write Relevance, which I think is really good, and it allows you to put in keywords like recruiting, staffing, job search, etc. And then it will bring you the best blogs from everyone who talks about those things. So instead of just third-party content like Inc. Magazine and Forbes, things like that, it's the top blog posts that your friends have shared and your network has responded to. So Write Relevance is a really good tool as well.
Excellent. Okay. So yeah, I still use Buffer, which I think is handy, but I'm going to have to check out Crowdfire. I'm sure I've seen it in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And I still use Buffer as well. I mean, I use a million tools. My Chrome browser is probably very slow because of all my apps.
I think all Chrome browsers are slow. I don't know why.
I think you're right. Yeah. No, I believe it's our extension, our abusive extensions. That's what it is.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. So who inspires you in terms of employer brand and why?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a story. At CA, and I'm not going to say CA is who inspires me as far as employer brand goes, but at CA, I got to hire. Well, I didn't get to hire him, but we hired a guy who is a really enigmatic guy as our chief technology officer. His name is Otto Berkes, B-E-R-K-E-S. You should check him out. He's a cool dude, and he really jumped on the bandwagon with our employer brand. He's the guy who created the Xbox. His team was the DirectX team for Microsoft. And then he went on to create HBO Go and HBO Now. And then we got to hire him at CA. And he volunteered to do podcasts with me and do employer brand videos and just was a really game guy for helping out. He was huge in our campus and intern recruitment program, and he's one of my heroes. So Otto, if you ever hear this, cheers, mate.
Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to tag him in a Twitter update for this podcast. So what's up next for employer brand in your opinion, Craig?
Yeah, so I think what we have to look at now is the blended workforce, right? The new traditional. I believe in the next couple of years, we're going to have to figure out how to attract and nurture so many different types of workers, because I think that the traditional workforce model is going away, right? We're sort of in this app economy where we're all working on projects all the time. And so I think we're going to get projects done with multiple different types of individuals. So in addition to what we've been used to as sort of the contractor and permanent employee blended workforce, we're going to be looking at project workers as well. And these project workers we're going to get from apps, And we need to know how to manage that and deal with it. And then the other type of worker that we're going to have to deal with is the automated worker, right? AI is now part of our workforce. So how do we blend that into the mix to make it, really work for us? And so we have to think now more about what work needs to get done and how we're going to get it done versus what's our workforce capacity planning.
And it's been interesting implications for employer brand, I suppose. It's not
exactly
so much
right about
attracting anymore. It's about picking the right tech.
It's the right blend. And then, that whole bring what you bring idea and mentality can sort of extend into that. You can be whatever kind of worker you want here, which is, I think, how we're going to have to sell it.
Great. Okay, final question. How can our listeners connect with yourself, Craig?
Yes, I am at Fishdogs on Twitter. And you can also find me at my blog, which is fishdogs.com.
Now, just a question. Where does Fishdogs come from? Is it basically your surname? And someone said, let's throw in a dog there for fun.
So years ago, when I was recruiting tech people, I was trying to figure out how I could connect with them sort of in their online chat rooms and things like that without just being a recruiter selling jobs, right? So I started teaching myself to code. And as part of that process, I built my own website and a blog to go along with it. I tried to get craigfisher.com. And it was already taken by some famous artist in New York. Turns out I'm not the only Craig Fisher. Mm. Crazy, right? But I was able to figure out at the time that these techies had outside interests, right? And I wanted to connect with them on a personal level. So I started writing about my experience learning to code. And I was also writing about my personal hobbies. And one of the big deals with me at the time was I had these two great chocolate labs that I was training to be, basically hunting trained dogs. They were really great dogs. So I got fishdogs.com as a URL and built my website there. So Fishdogs is Craig Fisher and his dogs originally. It was my doggy blog,
right,
with a couple of articles here and there about me learning to code. And I would post stuff about this and cross-post in all these AOL chat rooms and various other places where techies were hanging out. And I got a big response. And then every once in a while, I'd write, and by the way, we're hiring. So I wasn't just a lurker and a cheater. I was really contributing. And that's where my 5-to-1 give to ask content ratio comes from, right? Don't just ask all the time. Give 5 times and then ask.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Fishdogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan, thank you.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything that Craig and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. And also, big thank you to Rootly, our sponsors. Do check out their very cool product at rootly.com. And don't forget to mention the Employer Branding Podcast for your 3-month free trial. What's there to lose? Finally, when I speak to employer brand leaders, one thing strikes me every time. You may have noticed this on the podcast. Everyone is challenged with measuring their work. Metrics vary from company to company, making it incredibly hard to benchmark your progress against talent competitors and your boss. We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners like yourself to understand your company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what candidates, employees, and alumni think about your company. Presented in an easily understandable and actionable report delivered straight to your desk. Happy to discuss and show you a sample report. Just get in touch. I'm available at jorgen@linkhumans.com. Or if you prefer to look at a summary, just click on to employerbrandindex.co. So employerbrandindex.co. All the links I mentioned will, of course, go in the show notes. that's it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next week. Hey, lo!
What's brown and sticky? A stick.